You're listening to a best of Montana Talks. Hold your phone calls for today.
All right. Welcome back to Montana Talks. We're cruising right along. We're 2 hours down. I did an hour on my own. Usually I try to bring people in studio, like to have conversations and not talk to myself or talk into space. But I appreciate some comments coming in from the last hour. Mark from Roberts asked the question about, what about micronuclear? I think you're starting to see some of that. Bill Gates' facility down in Kemmerer, Wyoming, is moving along pretty rapidly. That's probably the closest one to Montana and the closest one in proximity to where we're at. But conversations around micronuclear facilities are certainly occurring, and the government is trying to keep up with the pace of private industry. So that's coming. Thanks, Mark, from Roberts. Eric, identifying himself from the liberal Mecca of Montana, I presume that would be from Missoula, asked the question, do we have power and water for data centers? And that's a question you're going to get a different answer from, a different answer on, depending on who you talk to. No is probably the answer. We probably have the water availability for data centers. We do not have the power capacity right now as we're currently constituted, and we have to get creative about power to support data centers. Even data centers right now are changing so rapidly in the way that they cool systems. They're understanding that they need to be more efficient with water usage, and you're starting to see other usage, other cooling system implementation to try to offset and negate the water demands for these facilities. But that's forever developing technology, and that's the beauty of the private sector, is government will never keep up and the private sector will always keep innovating, and that's the beauty of a capitalist market. So data centers, I did want to note, I don't know how many listeners, and Caden, I don't know if you're an NFR guy. I love this time of the year with the National Finals Rodeo. Montana's own Ty Erickson from Helena, Montana, won the steer wrestling. I think that's his second go-around win, and he has a second place in another go-around. So he's won two out of the six go-arounds so far. That's fantastic for the state of Montana. Ty Erickson's a rodeo stalwart from the state of Montana and has done really great things in our community and represents Montana really well. We have some other Montana Cowboys up there or down there in Vegas competing. Haven't had a lot of wins, but Haven, Medjid, and I'm forgetting the Millstone Cowboy's name. I can see his face, but I'm spacing his name out. We've got great representation from Montana down in the National Finals Rodeo. I encourage you to watch that rodeo if you get a chance. But it also gives me an opportunity to talk about the Chase Hawks group, and we're going to do that here coming up in the next segment and talk a little bit rodeo. So welcome to the 8 o'clock hour. Glad to have you. Happy to be sitting in for the great Aaron Flint. This is Scott Aspinletter of Montana Talks. We'll be right back.
Want more Montana Talks? Download the app and listen from anywhere, anytime. We'll be back with more of Best of Montana Talks.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mostly sunny skies today with a high nearing 59. Partly cloudy skies overnight with a low around 35. Sunny and 57 throughout Friday and a chance for some snow Friday night. Cloudy with a low around 31. Some snow showers possible into Saturday. Sunny with a high nearing 40. And a slight chance for some snow showers into Saturday night with a low around 8. Sunny with a high nearing 30 throughout Sunday and partly cloudy and 18 throughout Sunday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Kara Foster.
This is House Call for Health. What helps to get you feeling festive? For those of legal drinking age, a little eggnog or mulled wine could help set the holiday mood. But with a growing sector of the population moving towards alcohol-free options, more people may be choosing to abstain from drinks at bars or house parties this season. And a recent study suggests many of those folks no longer feel the need to provide an excuse. The study from Heineken 0.0, in partnership with Sober Curious author Ruby Warrington, finds 72% of people feel comfortable turning down alcohol without feeling judged. Analysts also found 67% think it's not cool to ask why someone is abstaining. And while a previous study from Heineken revealed this mindset was popular with members of Gen Z, they say other generations are rapidly following. 90% of people saying they would support their friend in choosing a low or alcohol-free drink. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, if you're traveling through the holidays, through the new year, I'll tell you what, make sure you have the Montana Talks app on your smartphone. Heck, sometimes you'll have the button right on your dashboard in your vehicle if you have the Montana Talks app on your phone. And then you can listen to the show live. You can download podcast audio, plus get any of the news stories or commentary that we publish on the site as well. Yeah, get the Montana Talks app on your phone. Great to have with you through the holidays and the new year.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
Hey, summer is here, and with warmer weather comes a chance for some new beginnings. There is no better time to focus on your health with Billings Last Diet. Over 7 years ago, I lost 30-plus pounds thanks to their program, and I've kept it off ever since. Some of our listeners have climbed even higher, losing over 100 pounds. Think about all your favorite summer activities, hiking the trails, biking with friends, or playing with your kids. Now you take all that weight off your back. You take all that weight off your knees. And imagine that same hike with 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 plus pounds no longer on your back. Billings Last Diet is the program that works. This can be your last diet. Check out BillingsLastDiet.com, BillingsLastDiet.com, or give them a call right now, 294-6751. They even have a remote option if you don't live in Billings. So check them out. It's the program that works.
All right, welcome back. This is Scott Aspinler sitting in for the great Aaron Flint. Really appreciate the opportunity to be with you folks this morning, and thanks for tuning in to the show. We're talking rodeo, and this is my favorite time of the year. The NFR and Montana Cowboys down there competing at the highest levels of rodeo. But it's also a great opportunity to talk about Chase Hawks and the Chase Hawks Memorial Association. Local Yellowstone County group formed 30 years ago. This is its 30th year of the Chase Hawks organization. Chase Hawks was formed to help. It's a nonprofit group formed to help families that are in medical crisis pay their bills. And this time of the year, that's a really appropriate thing to talk about from my perspective. Chase Hawks has been around for 30 years and has assisted families with over $1 million in bills. Those are expenses to fix a car, help paying rent, or help getting groceries, help with families that are in a medical emergency that can't, they're struggling to make ends meet. Chase Hawks has stepped up for 30 years to help people in Yellowstone County and the surrounding counties to really make sure that they don't fall behind, to give them the bump and the boost up that they need to be successful and to keep their lights on and keep their family fed and healthy and happy. And so Chase Hawks also does the annual Rough Stock Rodeo, which is the week after the NFR finishes up. So that will be December 20th out at the Metro Arena, and you can get tickets out at the Metro box office. But I'd encourage all of you to come down to Yellowstone County, come down to Billings, come to the Metro, and attend the Chase Hawks Rodeo. That's one of the best rodeos. A lot of these guys from the NFR, a lot of the bucking stock that you see on TV down in Vegas at the NFR are going to be right here with us in Billings for the Chase Hawks Rough Stock Rodeo. It's the start of the new calendar year and the new earnings year for all these cowboys that are competing in the NFR. And it is a great time. It's a great show, and it supports a great cause on Chase Hawks. Chase Hawks has helped over 70 families just this year alone. And this Rough Stock Rodeo that they put on, it's the 30th version of it. It's going to be a big event, big to do, but that's where they raised the bulk of their money to help families here in Yellowstone County and in the adjacent county. So I'd encourage you to jump in, come to town, and help out with Chase Hawks and make sure that we're continuing to help our communities and folks in our communities with that. So we are going to have Attorney General Austin Knutson join us here in the next segment. We're getting the lines connected here, but Attorney General Knutson has been in the news here lately, and we're excited to talk to him here this hour later on. But good friend of mine and a guy that I love to have on the show and just talk about what he's doing with the Department of Justice and what he's seeing in the criminal justice system across the state of Montana. So we're going to have that conversation. I'm looking forward to talking to him about what's going on the national stage. We've seen some elections in the East Coast that didn't go the way that conservative folks out here in the West Coast and the flyover states would like. Jay Jones is somebody that I'm going to ask him specifically about. Jay Jones got elected attorney general in Virginia, and that created quite a stink with some of the comments that Jay Jones made about, you know, wishing death and harm upon his political opponents. Not something that you see come from folks that are elected at that level, and certainly not something that you see from somebody that's supposed to be leading a Department of Justice, somebody that delivers justice in our communities and states. So I'm interested to get the Attorney General's perspective here coming up on what he's seeing, some of the accomplishments that we've seen across the state of Montana. He has done a phenomenal job in investing back in the rural parts of our state to make sure that our rural communities are safe, fighting like hell against drugs and the cartels that are destroying our communities and really infusing their products into our cities and communities and reservations here. And he's done a lot of unsung work around human trafficking in the state of Montana. That's an uncomfortable conversation that we don't like to have. But the Attorney General has leaned into human trafficking and sex trafficking in the state of Montana and made some dang good headway. And I'm excited to talk to the Attorney General about some of those accomplishments and what his plan is as we head into the next year. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Attorney General Austin Knutson. This is Montana Talks. Stay tuned.
Stay with us for more Best of Montana Talks.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ad with Lane Nordlund.
Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm Lane Nordlund, and I would just like to share with all of our farmers and ranchers a very special Christmas Day blessing upon each and every one of you. Now, I know for agriculture producers, you're doing what you do every single day, checking livestock, feeding, watching the weather, and making sure everything's taken care of before the day really begins. But today, it's truly a little bit different. Today, we're surrounded by family and friends, checking to see if Santa may have dropped off a brand new debt-free tractor underneath that Christmas tree, or possibly a load of bred heifers with an elf included to help cap them out as well. But if that did happen to you, good on you. But in all seriousness, this is a day to slow down when we can, be grateful for what we've been given, and appreciate all the people who make this life possible. So from me to you and to all of your family, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and, of course, a very Happy New Year. Thank you for all you do and being a part of the state's number one business, that, of course, being agriculture and feeding not only this nation but the world as well. Have a Merry Christmas. I'm Lane Northlund.
You're listening to a best of Montana Talks. Hold your phone calls for today.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Aaron Flint today. And I have the honor and pleasure of talking with my good friend, Attorney General Austin Knutson, joining us here from D.C. Attorney General, how is D.C. this time of the year?
About like it always is. Still pretty swampy, Scott.
Yeah. So what exactly are you doing out in D.C. this trip?
Well, so I'm a member of the Republican Attorneys General Association, RAGA, we call it. It's just what it sounds like. That's the association for all the Republican attorney generals in the country, the state AGs. There's 26 of us. So we're all having our winter meeting out here. We just got done with a leadership meeting, picked our new slate of leaders for the organization for the next upcoming year, and I was honored by my colleagues to be unanimously selected as the new chairman of the Republican Attorney General.
I caught that in news here last night that you were elected to lead the RAGA organization. So as we head into this next year, let's talk about RAGA on the national level a little bit before we get into state and local stuff. But a lot happening locally. And I caught a Fox News story around Jay Jones, Attorney General elect, and RAGA, you and some of your counterparts in other states have raised questions about how fit he is for office based on some of the comments. You want to give us a little color around, you know, the Jay Jones saga and RAGA's position on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to make clear, like, when it comes to that deal, I'm not speaking on behalf of RAGA, but I think we definitely have concerns. So let's talk big picture first. What does the Republican Attorney General Association do? Well, you got to understand that whenever stuff happens at the federal level, or maybe there's federal litigation that we need to get involved in, that doesn't usually typically come out of your governor's office or out of a lot of the other statewide elected officials' offices. Like when stuff happens at a national level like that, it's typically the state attorney general who is the chief legal officer of the state, and that's the person who's typically involved in a lot of that federal litigation. Right. Whether it's on the Second Amendment, whether it's on the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, whatever the case may be, during the Biden administration, there was a ton of federal overreach. There was a lot of just unconstitutional stuff that the Biden administration was trying to do via the administrative state because they couldn't get it done through the Congress like they're supposed to. That's when you see the Republican Attorney General Association step up. We move as an organization. There's strength in numbers. You know, when little old Montana does things on our own, we're not often we don't have the power that you would when you partner with several red states. We're more effective that way. So, okay, Kind of globally, that's what the Republican AGs do. Now, when it comes to Jay Jones, if you haven't followed this is pretty stunning. Virginia, we had a Republican colleague in Jason Miaras. He was running for re-election just a few months ago, and, you know, came up short, lost that election. Chuck Schumer in the shutdown had a lot of federal workers who were furloughed. They were obviously upset. I think that was a gambit by Chuck Schumer to get Jay Jones, the Democrat candidate, elected. They were successful. Here's the problem with Jay Jones. This is a guy that, when he was in the Virginia State House, said just some awful, horrible, I mean, really disqualifying things about his political opponent. I mean, and I'm not saying, like, just said mean things. I mean, literally wished death, publicly wished death upon his Republican counterpart in the House, stated publicly that he wanted this man's children to suffer the tragedy of having parents die so maybe they would learn their lesson and switch parties. I mean, if that's not just flagrant political gamesmanship, doesn't even touch it. I mean, that's beyond the pale. It's disgusting. Wishing death upon your political opponents. I mean, this is not socialist Russia. Like, we don't work that way. But this is what this guy said. The Democrat AGs wouldn't touch this issue. Jay Jones has never spoken about it publicly, and here he is. He's going to be seated as the chief law enforcement officer of one of the most important states in the country, and we're just going to pretend this didn't happen? It's insane.
Yeah, and that's the most surprising thing to me is how are the people of Virginia supposed to have faith in this guy's judgment when you make comments like that? And we all have bad days. But when I have a bad day, I don't wish my opponent's death. I don't wish my kids to carry my opponent's kids to carry their father's casket. I don't say things like I'm gonna show up and piss on their grave. Like those are so beyond the pale. It's almost hard to fathom that we have a statewide elected official in any state, regardless, holding, soon to hold office, having said things like that. And that's not even, you guys as attorneys have a whole different code of ethics and standard that you have to live to. And how does that even play in that arena?
Well, I think that's exactly the question. And I mean, for me, I come at it from a little different. This is a guy whose job is going to be the chief law enforcement officer for a state. You know, in Montana, I'm in charge of the Montana Highway Patrol. I'm in charge of our state division of criminal investigation. I've got a lot of law enforcement functions under me. If I'm openly making statements undermining the rule of law, advocating for murder, how much faith do you suppose law enforcement in this state is going to have in me?
Yeah.
And that really is a problem. I mean, Virginia's already got a crime problem. Northern Virginia, especially when you start getting closer to where I'm sitting right now, the District of Columbia. I mean, this is not exactly Mayberry over here. They've got some issues. And this state is going to let this guy who said just these outrageous statements is one thing. But these are literally wishing murder and death. Like you said, wanting children have to carry a casket, outrageous doesn't begin to touch it. It's entirely inappropriate. It's a disgrace to the office, and he shouldn't be seated. But this is where we are in the state of play for I think a lot of the Democrat Party anymore. Unfortunately, this is becoming the norm where you can't win an election. They can't get a lot of their policies through in most states. So they turn to just vile personal attacks, this tribalism that we see today that didn't exist a generation ago. You know, a generation ago, we had the Mike Mansfields of the world. Mm-hmm. Democrat U.S. Senator from Montana was the majority leader during World War II. And by all accounts, a great human being, a great statesman, a great diplomat.
It's unfortunate that we are where we are, and we see it play out. We saw it play out in our own capital here 10 months ago with some of the issues that we have with the LGBTQ and transgender legislation. You know, it takes away from the work that as publicly elected officials we're supposed to be doing on behalf of our constituents and on behalf of the people of the state of Montana. And it's, I don't know how we pull ourselves out of this. It's going to take some real vested interest from both sides of the aisle and some real leadership to put guys like the Jay Joneses out on an island and send them adrift and to pull in the like-minded folks that want to get back to having civil conversations about the issues that we're facing in the state. So from a federal standpoint, shifting from Jay Jones, you know, you guys are doing a lot of work with RAGA, and we're in some better years right now than we were in the Biden administration. We've got a cooperative administration. Can you speak to some of the successes that you've had and RAGA has had here over the last year with the Trump administration coming in and kind of where you see us going?
Yeah, well, it's a whole different ballgame, Scott. I mean, when I was first elected attorney general, I mean, I served my first term, my first 4 years under Joe Biden. And like I said earlier, it was just a constant onslaught. It was a very hostile administration. There was zero communication with the states. It was very much, you know, we see the modern Democrat Party talking about no kings. But let me tell you about the Joe Biden administration. I don't know who actually was in charge, but they truly acted like a monarchy, that because they were in the president's office, they could issue fiats and dictates from Washington, D.C., and it literally was a daily thing. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. We have a Congress. It's Congress and the Senate's job to pass policy.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic.
You're listening to a best of Montana Talks. Hold your phone calls for today.
Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome back to Montana Talks. This is Scott Aspinall sitting in for Aaron Flint. I got to hijack the show for a day, but I am honored and blessed to have my good friend and great Attorney General for the state of Montana, Austin Knutson, joining us. We talked a little bit about national issues, Austin, the last segment, but I want to talk about Montana now. In the lead up in this hour, I was talking about the great things that you've done in your first 4 years and some of the accomplishments and achievements that you've leaned into. But why don't you talk to us a little bit about what you've gotten done here over the last 12 months? Just kind of a year look back as to what DOJ has been able to achieve here for the state.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think absolutely top line for the last 12 months has been the progress we've made fighting cartels and fighting drugs and crime in Montana, right? Because those two things go hand in hand. As illicit drug use and trafficking goes up, we see more violent crime in Montana as well. And that's been on about a 10-year trend line in Montana. The numbers that I like to tell people is during the 4 years of the Biden administration, so basically from 2019 to 2023, we saw fentanyl not just start coming into Montana, but come in and just completely flood the zone. And the numbers bear that out, Scott. So probably the most staggering number is just Montana's law enforcement fentanyl seizures. Between 2019 and 2023, Montana law enforcement seizures of illicit fentanyl increased 20,000%.
God, that's crazy.
And I did not misstate that. I mean, run the math on that, okay? Mm-hmm. That gives you an idea of two things. Number one, how hard the cartels have pushed that product, which is extremely dangerous. But number two, how wide open the Biden administration threw the southern border and allowed those cartels free reign to walk the stuff into our country, okay? Because that's where 100% of this fentanyl was coming from. Mexican drug cartels. Period. Hard stop. End of sentence. Okay, you asked what the achievements are this year. Since the Trump administration has taken control and secured the southern border, since we've stepped up our law enforcement efforts at the Department of Justice, statewide, your local sheriff, local PDs, those fentanyl seizure numbers in the last year have dropped almost 80%, Scott.
Man.
Now, it's still really high, right? Like that's right. That's after just a four-year crazy trend almost straight up if you were to graph it, right? But it's dropped off 80% from where we were last year. And last year was a record year for seizures. So that to me is a huge win. We haven't just bent the curve. We've dropped it off a cliff. I want to keep driving those numbers down. But to me, that's first and foremost, like, biggest win for the year. We've seen violent crime and illicit drugs decrease in Montana in the last year. That that's a huge plus. That's top line. I think another really big landmark for us in the last 12 months, the Anaconda situation with the manhunt this last summer. Mm-hmm. Oh, your listeners remember that was a horrible situation. We had an individual walk into the Owl Bar fairly early one morning, walk in the middle of a coffee crowd who were just, you know, in literally having their morning coffee at the local watering hole. And this guy walked in with a rifle and just viciously murdered four people in cold blood. That turned into a manhunt situation. That individual was able to get right outside of Anaconda into some really rough terrain. And that ended up being, you know, a multiple day manhunt looking for the suspect. That was a watershed event for Montana law enforcement. And why do I say that? We had over 40 different law enforcement agencies respond to that manhunt, Scott. That's, number one, a huge testament to Montana, right? This is what we do. When your neighbors have a crisis and they need help, and that's exactly what happened here. The Anaconda Deer Lodge police force, they knew they needed help. They didn't have the expertise. They didn't have the manpower. They didn't have the technological tools. Mm-hmm. Between state, local, and federal law enforcement, we had 40 different agencies up there on the side of that mountain working together. That's a huge logistical lift. You sit down and think about just from like a communications, radio. Every law enforcement agency has a different radio frequency. Yep. Some of them are encrypted. Some of them are not. Different technology. That was a real logistical problem for us. Getting people up and down that hill, that was very, very difficult terrain. It was mountainous. We had some weather issues. You're flying helicopters in and out of there. You're using infrared, thermal. But just literally getting the tactical teams up and down that hill, making sure people didn't get left behind. You know, they were up working sometimes, you know, over 24-hour shifts, finding a place just for law enforcement to sleep, mm-hmm. get a couple hours of shut-eye, making sure they stay fed. All those things that you probably don't think about when you've got a multiple day manhunt like that. This was a huge, huge win for Montana. I'm so proud of the cooperation. Nobody got into the whole law enforcement, who's urinating and who's sandbox. You know, this is our turf. No, this is our turf over here. That just didn't happen. And I could not be more proud of Montana law enforcement in that situation.
And that's one of the good news stories, I think, of the last 6 months is the way that the law enforcement community has come together. And I think you see that in different capacities. You know, and a lot of times, I know right here in Yellowstone County, our SWAT team and hostage negotiation team goes all the way out to Richland County when there's hostage situations. We were in Miles City earlier this week with that standoff situation. The law enforcement community really, really does follow that brotherhood, that brother and sisterhood, and that code of helping your neighbor when your neighbor asks for help. And it's great to see. One of the things that I noted that I know has been kind of near and dear to you, and you've put some time, effort, and resources in to and had some success in that I wanted to ask you about was human trafficking. That's a trend that also tends to follow the narcotics trend, and it's a lot of the same circles. But can you talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing on the human trafficking front?
Yeah, well, this is a tough subject, Scott. I mean, you said it earlier, but it's a subject that, by and large, a lot of Montanans aren't comfortable talking about, because I think a lot of Montanans don't think it's happening here.
Right.
I can tell you it 100% is happening in Montana. I don't even like using the term human trafficking, because I really think it pulls the punch. I think we have to be adult enough and realistic enough to call this what it is. This is sex slavery.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ugly, evil topic, but we've got to be honest with ourselves. This is happening in Montana, and we have a huge, unfortunately, we seem to have a huge appetite for illicit sex in Montana. And I want your listeners to understand, like, this isn't just, you know, like, quote unquote, harmless prostitution. you know, where you got a willing buyer and a willing seller. I think a lot of people delude themselves into thinking that's what we're talking about. There is not a person on this planet who wakes up and thinks to themselves one day, boy, I think this would be a great way to earn a living.
Yeah.
This is a slavery situation.
Yeah.
You are a piece of property. You are less than cattle. Very often they are branded like cattle. They're handed around like cattle. It's all about how many times can I use this person today to make as much money as I can.
Yeah.
This is evil at a level that I think most Montanans don't truly understand, Scott. So we've dedicated a ton of time and effort to this at the Montana Legislature. We've gotten additional resources. And what do I mean? We now have a dedicated human trafficking unit within the State Division of Criminal Investigation. That didn't exist before I took office. So we've made great strides. We've tightened up state law. It used to be you could, Scott, literally, before last legislative session, you could literally get online and solicit illegal sex with a child 4 times in Montana.
Before it became a felony.
And it was a misdemeanor.
Yeah, that's crazy. We're about to wrap up here in the last 30 seconds. And Attorney General, I really appreciate you taking the time. And I'm so proud of the leadership you've brought to the Department of Justice and the work that you have done. I also want to give props to your staff. Like, you're a great guy and you're a great leader, but you have such great people. Emily, your comms director, has moved into some more roles. Jason Johnson, Alex Sturhan, Will Self, a great friend of yours and mine, as your chief of staff. I mean, you have such great people. Really appreciate your time. Appreciate the work you do. We'll let you get back to D.C. Keep up the good fight. This is Montana Talks Radio.
Thanks, Scott.
Sports update.
And doing work right now. Cooper flag again.
Welcome to the Coop Show.
The Coop Show. Dallas Mavericks rookie Cooper Flagg, the star of last night's one-point win over the Nuggets on NBC Peacock. The number one overall pick in this year's draft scored 33 points, nearly had a triple-double. Flagg had 33 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists. Dallas beat Denver 131-130. Cooper Flagg matched his career-best point total for one quarter. He scored 14 in the first last night, a perfect 7-of-7 shooting, including 2 makes from long range. 28 of the NBA's 30 teams played last night. The league has off tonight for Christmas Eve before 5 games tomorrow, including games for the Mavericks and the Nuggets. Dallas will play at Golden State tomorrow. Denver will be home against Minnesota. The Timberwolves last night beat the Knicks in Minneapolis 115-104. 38 points for Anthony Edwards. First time the Timberwolves scored a win against former team star Karl Anthony Towns, who scored a season-high 40 points for New York, but fouled out. Minnesota improved its record to 20-10 and dropped the Knicks to 20-9. Tomorrow, the Knicks will be home to open the 5-game NBA Christmas Day schedule for a contest against the Cavaliers. Cleveland last night clobbered New Orleans 141-118. 9 Cavaliers players scored in double figures. Just the second time in team history this has happened. League best Oklahoma City lost for the 3rd time in 5 games since they opened the season 24-1. The reigning champs now 26-4 after the Thunder lost to the Spurs for the 2nd time in 10 days, 130-110. San Antonio has won 7 games in a row. In Englewood, Kawhi Leonard had a giant night for the Clippers, 41 points against the Rockets, and a 128-108 victory for Los Angeles. It's game on with the Fox Sports app, available wherever you download apps. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mostly sunny skies today with a high nearing 59. Partly cloudy skies overnight with a low around 35. Sunny and 57 throughout Friday and a chance for some snow Friday night. Cloudy with a low around 31. Some snow showers possible on a Saturday. Sunny with a high nearing 40. And a slight chance for some snow showers on a Saturday night with a low around 8. Sunny with a high nearing 30 throughout Sunday and partly cloudy and 18 throughout Sunday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Kara Foster.
For some of the top stories in 2025, what are going to be the big things that we'll be talking about in 2026? Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. That's what we're going to be talking about through the end of 2025 and on into 2026. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. You can catch us statewide every Monday through Friday, right here, 9 to 10 a.m. And go ahead and message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Back now with the best of Montana Talks.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, welcome back. Closing out the 8 o'clock hour. This is Scott Aspenlighter sitting in for Aaron Flint as Aaron Flint gets a little much-deserved time off. Grateful for the opportunity to be with you this morning and to talk about what's going on in our state. What a great half hour we had with Attorney General Austin Knudsen. You want to talk about a leader and a leader of men and a leader of women. That's a guy who has dedicated his entire professional life to public service. Serving in the legislature for 8 years in the House of Representatives, 4 years as a Speaker of the House, first two-term Speaker we've had since term limits in the state of Montana, and the youngest Speaker of the House in the country at the time, and the youngest Speaker of the House we've had in Montana. Went from the legislature back home to Northeast Montana, where I grew up, and was the county attorney in Roosevelt County and dedicated his time and his talents to our small rural community in Northeast Montana, prosecuting crime and holding criminals accountable in our corner of the state. And then felt the calling to continue to serve the people of Montana. And we are so thankful for the work that he has been doing as the Attorney General of the state of Montana. And I'll tell you, not all leaders are created equal. Not all Republicans and conservatives are created equal. The Attorney General's office and the Department of Justice was led for 8 years under a different Republican Attorney General that Austin replaced. And I can tell you that Austin's leadership is vastly different. And the achievements and the work on crime is vastly different than it was under the last Republican Attorney General in the state of Montana. That's a testament to his tough, no-nonsense approach to crime and prosecuting and holding criminals accountable, his commitment and dedication to the safety and security of our communities and the state of Montana, and the hours of dedication and work and effort that his team at the Department of Justice puts in for the people of Montana. I mean, we are so lucky to have a leader like Attorney General Knudsen fighting for our state. In Yellowstone County alone, I can tell you the level of resources that the Department of Justice has committed and dedicated to Yellowstone County and Billings, Montana, whether it be through their Department of Criminal Investigation, the DCI units, the Highway Patrol that is based out of this division here, the work with the Drug Task Force and the Violent Crime Task Forces. He is invested in a lot of DOJ's resources in crime-ridden areas and is working and fighting with our local communities to hold criminals accountable and to make our community safe again. And the reality for a small business owner like me is we aren't successful unless we have safe communities. We aren't seeing investments in our communities if our streets aren't safe. We aren't seeing the influx of people into the state of Montana if our communities aren't safe and secure. And that leadership starts from the top. It starts with your local officials. And like I said, we are really fortunate to have a leader like Attorney General Austin Knudsen. I'm looking forward to the next couple of years of his leadership at DOJ and the things that he's going to tackle. He's not afraid to step into the hard stuff. You heard him talk about sex trafficking and human trafficking also. He is not looking for headlines. He's looking to take on the hard issues, where the hard issues lay, and we're a better state for it. We're a safer state for it, and we're I'm personally grateful to know him and to have call him a friend. So we're gonna move into the next hour. We've got Blake Furman from the Veterans Navigation Network going to join us. We're going to take a quick break and close her out with the 9 o'clock hour. This is Montana Talks.
Kids in the front seat.
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Let's be honest. The National Symphony may not be in his future, but he wanted to try violin. So you said yes because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more about keeping your kids safe in your vehicle at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.